Take our Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and stand together, please. It has been a joy to be here these three nights. It's been a privilege. I'm sorry I can't be here tomorrow. I've got a funeral tomorrow morning, but trust the Lord will bless and show himself big tomorrow. But tonight we're in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I want to start reading in verse number 20. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad the Lord's here.
Amen.
I'm also glad the fire marshal's not here.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness." Well, that's pretty straight talking. "Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would grab a hold of all of our hearts. And we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach to you about all of your heart. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord, not to men. That's Colossians 3. God wants all your heart. He didn't want a part of it. You know, any time you do something half-heartedly, it never is a good thing. It doesn't work out. Have you ever been on a sports team where somebody was playing half-heartedly? I don't like being on a team with somebody playing half-heartedly. I mean, just go sit down. If your heart's not in it, we don't need you on our team. If you don't care whether you win or lose, then what's the point, you know? Have you ever met anybody that works half-heartedly? And they just hit a little lick here and there, and their heart's not in it, and you're working there beside them, and you're looking over there. It makes the work a little bit harder when you know somebody's just doing it with half of their heart. But you know, that's true about our lives, isn't it? We do so many things half-heartedly. Now, when we look at the world and we talk about the things of God, they don't do things half-heartedly. They do things no-heartedly. The world has no heart for God. People that aren't saved, they don't care about God, and we shouldn't expect them to because they're not saved. You can't expect people that don't know God to love God. You've got to come to him and let him change your life for you to have all those priorities. But they have no heart for God. But here's the problem in Christianity. Here's the problem in our lives. Here's the problem with young people, is that we do things half-heartedly and not with all our heart. How many of you parents could stand up and testify about your kids taking out the trash or doing their chores half-heartedly? Oh, they did what you said, but, right? It was not with all their heart. How many of you have ever come to church half-heartedly? I mean, you were there, you're where you're supposed to be, and everything else, you know, seemed to be right, but it wasn't all your heart that was there. How many times have we sung hymns to the Lord? And we sang them. We went through the words, but and we put in a little bit of heart here and there, but it's not like it was with all our heart. I think there's a principle in the Bible that whether we serve God or whatever we do, several times in the Bible it tells us about what we should do with all our heart. The Lord. The first one was in our text when Samuel told the people of God here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, in verse number 20, at the end of the verse, he said, serve the Lord with all your heart. In other words, everything you've got, you ought to serve the Lord with everything you've got. He said the same thing in verse number 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Whatever you do for God, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing with everything you've got. In Jeremiah chapter 29, if you'll turn over there, I did a terrible thing tonight. I just pulled that little thing by accident out of my watch, so I have no idea what time it is. I'm very sorry about that. Well, it looks to me like we're doing really good. But Jeremiah chapter 29, God tells us to serve him with all our heart. And then in Jeremiah 29, in verse number 13, the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me, look at it, with all your heart.
Right.
You know why people can't find God in their life? They're only looking for him and searching for him and seeking for him with a portion of it. You know, this is a promise in the Bible. If anybody, I don't care where they are, if they're in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, amen, or Papua New Guinea or somewhere in Indonesia, and they've never, doesn't have a Bible, never heard anything about God, if they will seek God with all their heart, he will be found of them. Now, whatever you need from God, if you're just playing half-hearted with him, you're not going to find it from God. You're not going to get what you need. But if you will seek for him and search for him with all your heart, you're going to find him. You know, the Bible also tells us in Deuteronomy 30, verse 10, to turn to God with all our hearts. I think that's also could be seen in part of seeking him. If we'll turn to God with all our hearts, sometimes we turn to God feignedly. In other words, we turn to him a little bit, but it's a little hypocritical because we never intend for him to get the whole package. We turn around our lives a little bit, and we turn away from what we know is not good for us, and we make a little turn to God, but it's not like we do it with all of our heart. God's not after a portion. He's after every bit of it. He said, serve him with all your heart. He says, seek for me with all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart. He says, if you look also with me, please, to Proverbs. Well, you don't have to turn. You know it because some of you, in the Bible drill, you quote it, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know what we do? We trust him a little bit. We trust him when we get saved because, you know, when the eunuch wanted to get baptized there, he said, if thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest. And when we get saved, we trust the Lord with our hearts. We believe he died and he rose from the dead, and we trust him as our Savior. But trusting him with all of our heart and our life, trusting him with my future, trusting him with my choices and decisions, trusting him with my family, trusting with my children, trusting him with my health. I tell you what, I got really upset with all that. With all that COVID stuff, and we had a missionary come by, and she said, we've not been able to go to a church in so many months, and my kids, we came off the field, and they were on furlough, and I just met them, didn't know them, I had them in the church, and she said, we came off furlough, and we're coming into the church, and we're presenting, we don't have any place to go, because the churches are closed, and people are afraid to go to church, and whatnot, and all this. And she said, where I've been living with my family, when we went to the mission field, we had to dedicate our lives to die because it's dangerous to be saved and even be there. And now I come back home and people are afraid to. You know what the problem is? We can't trust the Lord with all our heart. We trust him, but it's just not with everything. It's not with all my money. Well, that's an issue, isn't it? Lord, I'll trust you with that part, but over here is mine. We just can't, for some reason, we just can't be a total open book with God and say, God, I'll just trust you with everything. Trust He says, in the Lord with all thine heart. But the one I want to give you tonight is in Matthew. I think you probably know where I'm going. Chapter 22. And I think it'd be a great thing if all of us in here tonight and we could get some of these young people to serve the Lord with all their heart. I think it'd be a great thing. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if people here tonight, somebody here tonight would start seeking God with all their heart. I really think it'd be a wonderful thing. If somebody turned to the Lord with all their heart, we would rejoice and praise Him. If somebody, God could increase their faith and they could start trusting Him in areas that they'd never trusted Him before, I think it would be such victory and such a wonderful thing. But the last one I give you, I think is the key. Boy, this is a big statement. I really think it's the key to everything. And what I say by everything, I think it's the key to your family. I think it's the key to raising your children. I think it's the key to your Christian life. That's a big statement. This is a big Bible. And I couldn't emphasize this enough. This comes from the lips of our Savior. And He says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, six times that was said in the Old Testament, and the seventh time that was declared was from the lips of our Savior. He said, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And it's so important that look what He said after He said that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Would you look up here just a moment with me? Here in my Bible, Jesus said, all of that hangs on what I just said. That's a lot. He said, I want to summarize all that. Boy, Jesus. You talk about somebody that's tapped into something, brother. If you can summarize all that in a sentence, you know what's going on. Jesus said, read all that you want to. Memorize that all you want to. And I'm going to sum up all that with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's repeated also in the epistles of Paul. Paul said that in Romans chapter 13. He said, if there's any other commandment, it doesn't matter what it is, it's briefly contained in this, that you love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible makes this so important in our lives that when somebody says, well, preacher, I think the most key ingredient is Bible. Learn the Bible. You know, I used to probably think that. I don't think that anymore. I'm not saying it's not important to learn the Bible, but that Satan knows the Bible really well. It's not helping him very much. Satan knows the Bible more than any of us. You know what the Bible says about itself? It says that about Bible knowledge, it says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You know, you know what we can do? And I want to do it. I do. And I'm going to continue to do it. I preach through the Bible, verse by verse. We make much of the Bible. God's magnified His Word above all His name. I understand all that. And we can take the Bible and we can stick it in the heads of all these kids. We can stick it in their ears. But you know what you can't do? You can't get it in their heart. And the only way you can get it in their heart is if they'll fall in love with God. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. When I pastored in Virginia and we had a Christian school and it was just for our church kids and that's all it was, and they memorized, listen to me, they memorized books of the Bible. That boy sitting right there, how many books of the Bible did you memorize, son? I can't even remember. 8 or 9 whole books of the Bible. I'm not talking about just the little ones. We put the Bible, we made them memorize it. It's a good thing, right? But he didn't say, thy word have I hid in my head. I'm not minimizing that. We need to memorize the Bible. But what I'm telling you tonight, the difference was not teaching them the Bible. The difference would be teaching them to love the Lord their God with all their heart. And that is a much harder thing to do than teaching the Bible. The perils of life that we live in right now, if Jesus doesn't come in so many years, there'll be people right in here, sad to say, young people, older people, they'll be out of church, they'll be away from God. It's just what happens. And the difference is not what you didn't know. The difference is what's in your heart. It hangs. God makes such a priority. On this hangs all the law and the prophets. He said, add to your faith and keep adding to your faith. But when you get down the end of the line, he's wanting to get you to charity. I'm not saying charity and love is the same thing, but there is no charity without love.
Right.
He said the end of the commandment in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is charity. Out of a pure heart and a faith. Somewhere God's trying to get our hearts, you see. Jesus summed it all up. He said, with all your heart, you need to love him. As a matter of fact, it's so important. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I don't hear preaching too much on this verse. I keep looking at it while I'm watching. I forget it doesn't matter. It's lying to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I've never heard too many people preach on this verse, not really get into it. Verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Y'all know what that means? Yeah, let him be cursed. You know, it doesn't say if any man doesn't believe the King James Bible, let him be cursed. Is that okay to say? I didn't write the Bible. I believe the King James Bible. I'm going to be like Brother Roloff. I want to hug it, amen, all the way till the plane crashes. I take my King James Bible and I kiss it. Every word of it's pure. I fought that battle a long time ago, you see. But he didn't say, let him be cursed if he doesn't believe the Bible, the Word of God. He could have said, I don't know many places in the New Testament that passes out curses on people. Usually you got to go to the Old Testament to get all those curses. Here is a New Testament curse. And what is it for? For people that don't love Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. There's also a crown. We sung songs about that tonight, about that crown. I'll have a home or a mansion, a harp, a home, a horse. Have whatever you want to have. But he says a crown. But you know what James says? Well, I'm glad what somebody said here tonight about, yeah, was it you, brother, about 1 John being okay? Yeah. Don't let people cut your Bible up like that. They're foolish. Amen. Stick with the way people preach for 200 years. James is good for you. It's all good for you. You know what James says? He says, blessed is the man, James 1:12, that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Guys, that should be an easy one. But the more I live, I don't know too many people really probably love Jesus with all their heart. You know, when Jesus appeared to Peter after the resurrection, he didn't ask him what he was going to do for him. He asked him if he loved him. I think Jesus was more interested in what Peter loved than what Peter could do. So many times, we want to do something instead of being something. God, first of all, I think maybe that's going to be when we meet Jesus at the judgment seat, just like Peter met him after the resurrection. Amen. It may be the same thing. When we look in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, it may be a question of love. And everything we look back on our life would be a measure of how much we really loved him. Do you love me? He had to say that three times. I know he betrayed him, or he denied him three times. I understand that. But I mean, how many times you got to ask somebody? You know what I really believe? I believe if Jesus Christ walked through that door here tonight and got you alone back there when we're fellowshipping, I think he'd probably put his arm around you and say, do you love me? Yeah. I think he'd put his arm around this young man. I think he'd probably say, hey, young man, do you love me? And when you said yes, he'd probably listen a while, and then he'd come back around the second time and said, do you really love me? Because, listen, that's the question. That's really the question. Do you love me? Where's your heart? God just doesn't want your body. He wants your heart. He just doesn't, he want robots. He wants your heart. It is so important. Listen to this. All of us want our lives to work out. We all want our families to work out. We all want our future to be good and blessed and all that. But you know what the Bible said in Romans 8:28? How could we miss it? That the things work together for good to them that what? He didn't even say they work together for good for them to do right. And I believe in doing right till the stars fall. But he said if you want it to work together for good, you've got to love God. Yeah. I've watched Christian people. Everything else seems in line, but the heart's missing. I'll say this about you loving God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you love God, everybody knows it. You know how I know that's true? Because the Bible says it. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Let me ask you a question. Do people know you love God? Because if they don't, you don't love him. You know what I can do right now? I don't know most of you, but there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There's about 18, 19 people here that I do know. And you know what? I could tell you tonight whether they love God or not. Oh, you're judging. No, it is known. Now, I'm not going to embarrass them and stand them up, but I could. Because if somebody loves God, it's evident. It's known. There's no guesses about it. If you really love God with all your heart, everybody is aware of it. And if people aren't aware of it, there's something wrong with you. As my children have grown up, I know if they love God or not. And it doesn't have anything to do with just the outward thing. I can just tell. Now, here's the question. Can people tell you love God? Do they know that about you? You say, how do we do that? Well, three things that I'll say if they're not true, that there's no way you can love God with all your heart. It's impossible. Am I even getting to the cusp of persuading you how important this is tonight? Now, there's three ways that you know that you can't love God, and you'll never love him. Number one, if you don't love people, if you don't love the brethren. Because it's what he said in the Bible. He said, you know, if you don't love your brother who you can see, how can you love God whom ye hath not seen? And so many people have fooled themselves. They have bad relationships with everybody else, but they think they have a good relationship with God, and you are self-deceived. The picture of our heart for God is the evidence of our relationships with our brethren. I better move on from that one. But that is true. And so if you ever say, hey, man, I love God. Oh, how I love Jesus. And somebody could stand up and say, liar. You can't get along with me.
Yeah.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Liar. You're always mad at people. So what I'm trying to say is, before we talk about loving God, we need to find out what will get us out of the race. Because that first and that second commandment, boy, they just, the first is the first, but boy, they hang together. I think God is fed up to hear with his people that can't get along. And the reason, listen, it is just an evidence that we don't love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you'll put up with people. Amen. If you love your wife, you'll put up your wife. If you love your husband, you'll put up with your husband. If you love your kids, you'll put up with your kids. Amen. And the reason we can't, we don't love God. I told our church the other day that these people testify. I said, how do you know if you love God? You never even met him. Not in the flesh. How do you know you'd even like God? Oh, I love Jesus. He's so, all the world talks about, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. And if they met him, I don't think they'd like him very well. You know how I know? Because they didn't like him when he was here. You'd think the whole world would like Jesus. Touching blinded eyes, healing the sick, raising the dead. Amen. Who wouldn't love that? Never man spake like this man. But they didn't care for him too much. Oh, I can't wait to have him get to Jesus and see Jesus. Well, if you can't stand seeing people, you might not like to see Jesus. You can't love God if you don't love the brethren. John 14. I've not even got to the message, but I'm trying to get there. I really am. It'll be so short when I give the message, you will be thankful that it's short. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You cannot love Jesus if you don't love the brethren. You cannot love God if you do not keep his words. You can forget it. All these progressive and liberal people that love, I love God, God loves me, I love everybody. Well, all that's a lie if you're not doing what he says in the book. God defines love. You don't get to define it. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. That's love. The third one, we can't love God if we don't love the brethren. We can't love God if we do not keep his words. We cannot love God if we love anything else more. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't hold on to two things you love. That's why he says in this book, with all your heart. If there are any rivals to Jesus in your heart, then you will never love him with all your heart. You're out of the game. What are those rivals? Well, love not the world. I never forget, I was preaching on the street years and years ago in Virginia, and they all got mad. Even some people in my church got mad because I was preaching so hard. And it was my assistant that came up to me and said, preacher, there's a guy out here. He's standing right here. He's upset. I said, what's he upset about? He said, you're preaching on everything but love. I said, right. I got up and said, the Bible says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. You know, that old guy was a good sport. He started laughing. He was whipping himself and laughing. He said, I appreciate that guy. Amen. You know, the truth is, I can't love Jesus if I'm loving the world.
Right.
But now, wait a minute. Come here, I'm going to make a strong application. As independent Baptists in the past, this is what we thought. We thought if we could just get our young people not to love the world, it'd be all right. I don't want them to love the world. It'll ruin them. It'll chew them up and spit them out. I don't want them to do that. But the chief goal is not to just get people and young people not to love the world. We don't want them to love the world because if they do, they can't love Jesus. You understand? You see the great difference? We think we are a success if we can say, hey, I got a family that doesn't love the world. You can have a family that dresses right, and they got the right haircuts, and they got the right standards, and they got everything right, but that doesn't mean God's got their heart. That's why I've watched people grow up in the independent Baptist movement, and they did everything right, it looks like, and then they walked out the door and left God like a fire train, a fire truck going to a fire somewhere down the road. Getting away as fast, you know why? Because it wasn't about not just loving the world. It was about removing the obstacles that keep them from loving Jesus. I don't want them to just hate sin. I want them to love God. And the thing that'll save them and rescue their life, if they'll love God, at the end of the day, it'll come out all right. If they can walk out of my family and out of my church loving God, it will be the guiding compass of their whole life. But whatever else I tried to put in there, I put all that in there, and I don't put somehow that they love the Lord with all their heart. It won't work. And they won't love Him just because you love Him. Can't have any rivals if you love God. Not just loving the world, but men should be lovers of their own selves. We've got to teach young people to get out of love with themselves. You know why a lot of young people are in love with themselves? Because their parents have been in love with them so much they think they're the center of the universe. Little Johnny, little Susie, what do you want? They grow up thinking that they're the center of the universe. And they love theirself. They're so in love with theirself. You say, how do you know? Everything's about me and what I want. And people don't love God when they're in love with themselves. It's an obstacle. Men should be lovers of their own selves. They should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. When we love pleasure, even if it's an okay pleasure, but when we're more in love with our own comfort and our own happiness, then we're not going to love the Lord. The love of money is the root of all evil. I never met anybody love God that was a miser. I never met anybody that loved God that was materialistic in their life. We got young people, amen, coming out of churches. All they want to do is make a bunch of money. I don't even think it's wrong to make a bunch of money. I think every Christian ought to make a bunch of money so they can give to missions. I'm for making the money, but I'm not for loving it. I'm not for that being the goal. We try to teach our people, you ought to make money because you love God and you want God's work to go forward and you want to invest in the things of the Lord. It's not about you making the money. And you mark my words, a young person that grows up with that heart on money, they'll never love the Lord Jesus Christ because there's a rival. How about they love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Some people are in love with just people accepting them and giving them confirmation. Giving them, that's a big word, giving them acceptance. People live for that. They live for just others to accept them. That's why all this sodomite world is not going to stop until they destroy every fabric of morality in society, because they don't want to just do their evil deed. They want to be accepted. And bless God, you're going to accept me. But there's some saved people that way too. Matthew chapter 10. I'm almost getting to the message. This young man, after last night when I preached, the first thing he did when I walked in, he said, "Can we have a food fight tonight?" I thought, man, you got the wrong thing out of the message last night. Just like that woman thinking about those fingernail polish. You had to be here. Amen. Good to be in church. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Preacher, what a verse to read at a family revival, a youth rally. You know what I think would be the greatest thing for your family? If your children knew that you love Jesus Christ more than you love them, they may just think he's a little bit important. You know what would be great, young people? I hope you love your parents. I hope you have a good relationship with your parents. I hope you look. My dad was my hero. He went to be with the Lord in January. He's the greatest man I ever met. I never saw him say a cross word to my mother. In my life, always ethical, always godly, always faithful. That was my dad. I hope you have that kind of respect and love for your parents. But this book says, if you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. You know what a great obstacle is of you loving the Lord with all your heart? You love somebody else more. Maybe you love a girl more, you love a boy more, you love a friend more. Maybe you love your child more. You know how many parents walk out the door of a Bible-believing church because they love their child more than they love God? I could give you illustration after illustration that would boggle your mind. People leave the ministry because they love a child more than they love God. People give up everything because they love a child or a family member more than they love God. A pastor friend of mine said this. He said, 95% of the time, people will take the side of a family member over God every time. What's the problem? It's what they love. If you'll love the Lord with all your heart, you'll be able to love your children. You'll be able to love your wife. You'll be able to love your husband. You'll be able to love your parents in a way that you could not love, because love is of God. Love is not an emotion. And this is the message. It's going to be real short. Love is a gift. Love is something that you make a choice. You give it. When you got married, you made a choice. If you're married here, you gave somebody your heart. I get so frustrated with people that have marital problems, and they think, well, I don't love them anymore. Well, then choose to love them. Look, Jesus said, love your enemies. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, I didn't have a fuzzy feeling for my enemies. I didn't get up saying, oh, I love my enemies. They just make my heart go pitter-patter. It'd be so easy to go up to the enemies and say, you know, I just don't love you anymore. I did for about 5 minutes. I don't love you anymore. How can we love our enemies? It's a choice. It's a gift. You know why God loves you? There ain't nothing special about you. He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He loved you before He washed you. There's nothing about us to love. We're unlovable. We're unlovely. He chose to love us. It was His gift. And I can love my wife, and I can love my children, and you can love your husband, and you can love others, and you can choose to love God. You can give Him your heart. There's a great hymn in that book. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts. Be Thou my vision, Lord. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart, High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. It's a, you know, most people don't understand that. Why don't you make a choice and say, God, here's my heart. I'm going to choose to love You. I'm going to choose to give You my heart. Of course you make. It's also developed. You know, anybody that's courted a young lady in this room understands what it means to fall in love, right? And the more time you spend with them, oh, the smell of their perfume makes your hair stand up on the back of your head. And you look at the locks of their hair. And when you leave their presence and you go home, all you can think about is their beautiful eyes and the color of their eyes. By the way, please tell if somebody really is interested in you or not. Ask them, turn your head and say, what color are my eyes? Somebody, amen. Love is developed. Guy that's in love, man, he's thinking about everything about her. Can't get her out of his mind. Unless they get married. We probably got some great husbands here. I doubt very many of you go to work and say, oh, her perfume. You know why? Love is developed. Now, I haven't said that. Have you developed your love for God? Have you paid attention enough about who God is that you're enthralled by Him and that you're adoring Him because of who He is? Most people, they don't love God because they never got to know Him. They've not looked at the pages. Oh, you look at the pages. You see a Savior, amen, that'll touch people that nobody else will touch. That'll help people that nobody else cares about. You see one that has the power. You see the Lion and you see the Lamb. You see the Almighty God that even the winds and waves obey. You see the one that knows everything and yet has compassion for the lowly. You see the one that laid down his arm and said, go ahead. Go ahead. And he opened not his mouth and he was nailed to a tree and he poured out his life because he loved you that much. Could you look at the Lord long enough to develop a love for Him? Could you consider Him long enough to fall in love with Him? That you would thirst for Him, that you'd be like David said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. I'm thirsty for You. I love You. I want You, Lord, more than anything else in my life because I found out who You are. And You're fairer than the fairest. And You're the lily in my valley. And You're the rock of ages, and You're more than I could wish and dream of. I just can't quit thinking about You because of all You've done for me and all You are. Love is not just developed, it's realized. What'll make you fall in love if you'll start realizing some things? The Bible said in Luke chapter 7 that there was a lady there that was washing the feet of Jesus, and then there was a guy that was criticizing that. Jesus turned to Simon. He said, "You see this woman? As soon as she's come in, she's not ceased to wash my feet with her tears." I tell you what, that's a lot of tears, son, to be able to wash somebody's feet. And he says, "You know, you gave me no kiss." You know, he tells Simon, "You don't love me, Simon. You asked me in your house, but it's all a show. You don't really love me. But this woman right here that you disdain, she really loves me." You know why he said? Because she realized something. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. Can I tell you tonight, I don't care if you're saved as an 8-year-old boy or if you got saved out of the drunk hall at 32 years old. God had to forgive me as much sin in my childhood as he did some seasoned sailor that had lived a life. God has forgiven me so much. Listen, the reason we don't love him, we don't realize it. If we realize the depth of forgiveness, we would love him. The last thing I tell you tonight is love has to be kept. If you're going to love God, if you're a teenager or however old you are, if you're going to love God, Jude tells us this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Your parents can't keep you loving God. Your pastor can't keep you. You have to keep yourself in love of God. And I've watched this in my life. Well, I remember the days he'd walk with me and he'd talk with me. I remember when that love first rose up in my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in the 80s. I never got over it. But this is what I've watched about my life. If I'm not careful, just like with my family, just like with my Bible, just like with my brethren, my love can wax and wane. I've got to keep myself in love with God. First thing I have to do is notice when I really don't love him with all my. Would you bow your heads with me?